Hi, I'm Glenn Elliott, lead pastor of Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. This message is part of a series called Amped. God wants to make a huge difference in us and then use us to make a huge difference in our world for Him. But He never expected us to change ourselves or do His work on our own with our own meager resources and talents. We, the church, God's people, are the hope of this world. Not the government, not business, not education. These are all vital. But God's people, transformed and empowered by God Himself, is His plan to transform society. We have a power available that's greater than all our human strength, wisdom, and abilities combined. God has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us, create a godly character in us, and give us supernatural abilities. Get ready to get plugged into the spiritual source of power that can leave us breathless. Are you ready to be amped by the Holy Spirit? Well, in the past few years, the employees at McDonald's, when you'd go and make an order, they would try to get you to supersize your order. As if a regular fry, regular drink, and a regular hamburger wasn't enough, they want you to supersize so that you can get more than half your calories in one meal. You know, the word super has been used so much. You know, we even say, oh, that's super, over something that maybe just be that was okay, you know. And it's a word that becomes trivialized that we miss its meaning. The meaning of the word super is above, beyond, exceeds, over the top. Okay, maybe a supersized meal is a little over the top. But you know, when we think about God, God in every way is super. He exceeds anything that we would consider normal. He is beyond. He is over the top. You know, right now we've asked all of us here at Pantano to be a part of the Bible reading plan. We read a chapter a day, 5 days a week. Right now we're in the book of Exodus. We're almost halfway through Exodus right now. And in the first part of Exodus is an incredible story. By the way, if you've not been a part of the Bible reading plan, I encourage you to do it. You can subscribe online. You'll get a daily reminder. There's brochures in the back that tell you about doing it. If you started, stay with it. If you dropped off, jump back on. But here's the stories that we were reading the last few weeks. God freed millions of Israelite slaves from Egypt. He did it through 10 awesome, powerful plagues. And then as Israel was leaving, He parts the Red Sea. And these millions go through the Red Sea. And they come to a desert that's worse than any desert we've ever seen. And God miraculously provides them with water and food and protects them from the Egyptians crossing over to get them. Incredible power. That's our God. Awesome. Super. And He wants to take His power and He wants to give it to us so that we can make a real difference in this world. He wants to give us supernatural ability. Super, beyond, over, above, anything that's natural, so that He can work in us and through us to truly make a difference in this world. Those supernatural abilities are called spiritual gifts. That's what the New Testament calls them. Spiritual gifts. And here's what a spiritual gift is. A spiritual gift is a supernatural ability given by God, given by the Holy Spirit, to each and every one of us who've claimed the name of Jesus, who has the Holy Spirit in our lives. Each one of us has this supernatural gift to serve others, to bless others, to spiritually influence others. God says you don't have to rely on just your natural abilities. I will give you supernatural abilities to help you do the work that I've called each and every one of us to do, to touch lives, to spiritually influence people, to make a difference. Now, some of us aren't familiar with what spiritual gifts are, and I want to just in this teaching time to try to explain that. And some of us are saying, well, be more specific. Like, what specifically are you talking about when you talk about a spiritual gift? Well, there's a couple lists in the New Testament, and we're not going to have a chance to look at all of them. Well, I want to look at the one that's in Romans chapter 12, if you want to turn there. There's also a great list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and some other places in the New Testament. And what we're not going to do in this teaching is we're not going to look at every single spiritual gift. I'm not going to explain every single spiritual gift. We just don't have the time to do that. What I want us to grasp is God's plan that He wants to empower us, and that we would move to that place where we would want to discover those supernatural abilities that He has for us. So turn to Romans 12. We're going to just see one of these lists. We're going to start in verse 6. He says, we have different gifts. Whoops, wait a minute. I'm reading Romans 12. There we are. Yeah, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. Let me stop there first. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. Now, what's interesting is the word gift, spiritual gift, in the original language has the same root as the word that we use for grace. Gift and grace have the same core meaning. Now, think about it. When Jesus died on the cross and died for our sins, we recognize that that was God's grace to us. God gave us what? A gift. Gift and grace are interchangeable. And in particular, this gift or this grace is always something that we couldn't do on our own. God's grace is always above and beyond what we can do for ourselves. We could not make ourselves right with God. We needed God's grace through Jesus. We cannot do supernatural things, so we need God's grace, what are called spiritual gifts. And so Paul says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. Grace is always what we can't do for ourselves. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. And if it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Other lists include other things like speaking in tongues and healings and some of the more miraculous things. There's all kinds of gifts that are mentioned. This is just one of those lists. Now, as you look at that list of gifts, you think, well, some of those don't seem very supernatural. Teaching, leading, encouraging. All kinds of people do that. People that have nothing to do with God or with Jesus or the Holy Spirit. They lead and they encourage and they teach. So, and even mercy. Why are these supernatural? Because when it's a supernatural gift like a spiritual gift, when we use this gift, this supernatural ability, we are influencing others in a spiritual way. People can lead and lead well, but not necessarily influence others in a spiritual way. There are all kinds of teachers in this world who teach information and facts, but don't necessarily move people in a spiritual way. What being talked about here is that extra, that super, the supernatural, where these become spiritual gifts where God works in and through us. Let me explain it in a couple of ways. First of all, we are all born with natural talents. We're all born with natural gifts. Now, some of us don't develop them very well, but we all have them. Okay? When we were born as a human being, God gave every single person some talents and abilities. Now, some people really develop them well and they become professional athletes or professional musicians or professional artists, but we all have these natural abilities given at our human birth. But when we accepted Christ as Lord, when we invited God into our lives, the Holy Spirit came into us. We call that when we're born again. When we were born a second time, we were given another set of abilities. These were spiritual gifts. And now we have the natural abilities that we were born with. We have the supernatural abilities that come through the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes those talents or abilities and those spiritual gifts, they work together. Sometimes they're in separate realms. Let me give you an example. Let's say a person was born with a gift of the ability to understand math and the ability to teach, and so they teach high school math. Praise God for people who can teach high school math. I was not given that natural ability. A great high school math teacher that inspires the students and they go on to college and they create all kinds of wonderful things and have very great employment because of their skill. That same teacher may or may not be effective in teaching the Bible to high school students. They might be very effective, that they can teach God's word in a way that inspires and moves these high school students in a spiritual way. Or they may try that and, just stay with high school math. Okay? They may or may not work together. And sometimes the spiritual gift operates in a way that's way beyond what we would have naturally. I remember in Easter, I was in rural Indiana. And I went into this church. I think the church was like 150 years old. Literally, when I went in, it had a little musty smell to it. Have you ever been in some of these older churches? And I love Easter. Easter and Thanksgiving are my favorite holidays, and I just love Easter. And I was at this church, and I sat down. And near the beginning of the service, a young man walked up to the front of the church and had a boombox. And he put it on the communion table. And I'm realizing this is going to be a special. And I'm thinking, this is not going to be good. A boombox. And he pushes the play button. The music starts and he begins to sing. And I'm kind of relieved because he doesn't have a bad voice. I mean, it's not a great voice, but at least he can hold the tune, you know. And I'm still thinking, this is kind of cheesy, you know. Come on. And then as I listened to him sing, God began to move in my spirit. It brought me to the point of tears. Not because he was so good with the talent and the ability to sing, but he had a spiritual gift operating through him. It might have been the spiritual gift of encouragement because he encouraged my soul as he sang. And it was one of the most memorable Easter experiences I ever had. But we've also seen people who sing who have incredible natural talent. I mean, their voice is clear. They have incredible tone. They're just technically incredibly proficient in their ability to carry a song. They've got a huge range that they can sing in. But after they're done singing, we go, "Well, that was nice. It didn't touch us. It didn't move us in any way," because the natural ability wasn't an accompanying spiritual gift that was with it. You see what I'm saying? One more illustration that maybe helps this. There are a lot of us, even among us, that are nurses, men and women. Most nurses that have been well-trained, they know their job well, they're technically proficient, they're skilled. But we've all been, whether we've been ourselves been in the hospital or been with family or friends who's been in the hospital, we've all seen some nurses that even though they are skilled, man, you just can't wait till they leave the room. Some of you who are older and remember One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, her name was Nurse Ratchet. Perfect name. Professional, but cold. And then we've seen nurses who make all the difference in the world. They're technically proficient, they're skilled, but they bring with them a gifting. And I've seen this particularly in Christian nurses. They bring the ability to bring healing not just to the body, but to the soul. The gift, the natural gift, combined with the spiritual gift, brings life in every aspect, in all the fullnesses of that. Now, one of the best chapters in the Bible that describes spiritual gifts is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'd like you to turn there. What we're going to see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are a number of key principles that really help us grasp exactly what these spiritual gifts are, what they do, their purpose in our lives. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 4. The Apostle Paul writes, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit." Verse 5, "There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Well, the first thing that Paul's saying here in these first three verses is this. Each and every one of us are unique. God isn't a cookie cutter God. Even though we can identify 15, 20, 25 spiritual gifts, we're all unique in how that works out. We're unique because of our personalities. We're unique because of our experience. But we're also unique in how God empowers us. And notice how he describes that. He says there are different kinds of gifts. I might have the gift of teaching, and you all hope that I have the spiritual gift of teaching because you have to sit here for 30 minutes. And you might have the gift of mercy. I pray for it every weekend. The fact is, I don't have the gift of mercy. So if you need mercy, you want to find somebody else. Because I'm not really good at that. Now, I love watching people exercise the gift of mercy. And when I watch somebody with the gift of mercy, they teach me how to be merciful because I am commanded to be merciful, but I'm not going to make it my primary ministry because I won't be very good at it. God hasn't given me that gift. Okay, so we have different gifts, and praise God we have different gifts. Now, let's say we both have the same gift. I have the gift of teaching, you have the gift of teaching. But notice what Paul says next. He says, turned the page. He says, not only are there different kinds of gifts, but there's different kinds of service. So for my area of service, that's the realm of where I would serve, the realm of ministry. I might, and I've discovered this, that I'm much better at teaching adults. But maybe somebody else who has the gift of teaching is really good at teaching children or students. I'm not really good at teaching children or students, but others are. And that's exactly what we need, is we need people who not only have the same gifts, but the realm in which they use those is different. And then Paul goes on to say even more, this sense of uniqueness. He says, then there's different kinds of working. Let's say we have the same gift, teaching. Let's say we have the same realm of service, adults. But how I teach may be different than how you teach. I might teach with content as well as with challenge, and you might teach in a way that really builds up the spirit and encourages people. The effect is different. And so regardless of who we are, God's Spirit works in us in very powerful and unique ways to meet the needs of those that he wants served in our church and in this world. And then notice how he says verse 7. This gets to the purpose of spiritual gifts. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Every one of us who's a follower of Jesus has been given at least one spiritual gift, maybe more. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. It represents that the Spirit is working in us. And for what reason? Notice what Paul says. It's given for the common good. The reason why God supernaturally empowers us is to build up, to serve one another. The whole purpose is not for me to feel good. I'm not here to teach so I feel good about my teaching. That could be a byproduct. When we serve in the power of God, we can get enjoy out of it. You know, we can be thrilled as we see people influence. But the purpose is to serve others, to benefit others. It's for the common good. God's church needs all of us to be operating by supernatural power so that we serve each other. And as we serve each other, we're able to accomplish his purposes in this world. And when we neglect that spiritual gift in us, what we do is we hurt the church. We hurt the church that God loves, that Jesus died for, when we don't operate in a supernatural way. Now go down to verse 11. He continues with these principles. He says, verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determined. Who gives you your supernatural ability? Who gives you your spiritual gift or gifts? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit determines what gift or gifts we have. We can ask, but in the end, it's the Spirit who makes that decision. But why is that? Because we are the body of Christ. We belong to God, and God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, knows us intimately. And he knows what this body needs. He knows how he's created you. And he creates that gift so that we might serve one another. He determines what gifts we have. Then verse 12, he says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. And I encourage you to read all of chapter 12, but Paul goes on then to elaborate on this idea that we are the body of Christ. We are many, we're very different. We have different gifts. We serve in different ways. We have different effects on people in a spiritual sense. We're all different. We're all unique. But we are all needed as one body. It's a great illustration. So far, I've managed to keep all my body parts. And I'm grateful for that. Because I need all the body parts. Some of those you can see. Some of those you can hear. But there are parts of my body that you can't see that are just as vital. There are organs inside here that I desperately need. I need a liver. And my little toe. You don't ever see my little toe, and it's not very impressive. But should I lose that little toe or should it be injured? Wow. I realize how important that little toe is. And what Paul's saying is that's true for the church. Maybe your gift is the gift of serving, and really nobody sees what you do. But that doesn't mean it's not important. Maybe you have the gift of mercy, and really people don't see you exercising that gift very much. Maybe the individual that you're serving at the moment, but others don't see it and recognize it. And one of what Paul's trying to say here is that we're not to compare with each other. Well, that person, we see their gifts. That's no more important or less important than somebody's gifts we can't see, that we don't recognize as obviously. So we don't compare. We don't wish for somebody else's gift. One body part doesn't want to be another body part. We all work together to accomplish what God wants accomplished in this world. One last scripture I want to turn to is 1 Peter 3:21. We've been looking at how Paul describes this. I want you to hear how the Apostle Peter speaks of this in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. This is a very, very clear command. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace. See again that tie between gift and grace? We are to faithfully use whatever gift God has given us, taking the grace of God, grace meaning God is making up for what we don't have naturally, to minister to others, to serve others, to influence others in a spiritual way. He goes on in verse 11. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides. He kind of summarizes them all. Some of the gifts have speaking involved. Some of them have the doing, the serving involved. He says, whether you're speaking, if you speak, see that you are speaking the words of God that will spiritually influence others. If you're serving, do it by the strength that comes from God, not by human ability. And then he concludes with this, so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. When we use the gifts that God has given us, when we influence others in a spiritual way, the one who ultimately receives the glory and honor is our God and his Son, Jesus Christ. So what? How do we apply this? This is huge. What we're recognizing is that we have a power that comes from God himself through the Holy Spirit that supercharges our natural abilities, that takes us to places that we could not go on our own power, that we have available to us supernatural ability to make a real difference in the lives of other people. Not because we're good enough, not because we're talented enough, but because God is powerful and works in and through us. Now, the challenge becomes discovering and using the spiritual gift or spiritual gifts that God has given us. want to provide some resources to help you with that. Some of you may already know what your spiritual gift or gifts are. Maybe you're new in the faith, or maybe you've not given attention to this before. You say, I'm not quite sure what that gift is. We want to share some tools that can help you with that. First is that starting May 1st, we're going to offer a class. It's a great class called Shape. The Shape class helps you discover your uniqueness, your unique talents, abilities, natural, your personality, as well as your spiritual gifts. And so you can sign up for that online. We have a card out on the resource table in the lobby. You can pick this up. It reminds you of that, shows you where you can sign up online to take that class. So I'd encourage, that's one option for you. We also have a great book written by C. Peter Wagner called Discover Your Spiritual Gifts. He explains what spiritual gifts are in much more detail than I've been able to do in this teaching. And at the back of the book is a little assessment tool that'll help you sort out, that'll help you get started. The book can't help you for sure know your spiritual gift, but it'll help you narrow down some possibilities so that you can begin to attempt to use them and see and confirm that you might have those particular gifts. And then also on this card, and this card's available at the Resource Center, there's also an online tool that you can use also that'll help you do that assessment. Now, as good as these tools are, the class, the book, the online assessment, in the end, they won't tell you what your spiritual gift is. The only way that we know what God's gifting is in our life is when we serve and we put it to the test. And that's what we do. We're willing to take a risk. We're willing to take a risk and say, God, I'm gonna serve in this area. I think this might be an area that you're calling me and gifting me to. And then you begin to serve. And then you have the integrity and the genuine authenticity to ask yourself, to ask God, and to ask those around you, as I serve, is God using me to spiritually influence others in a positive way? God, are you using me? You ask your spiritual community that's around you, are you seeing that I am actually making a difference in people's lives, that God's power is flowing through me? And if the answer is no, then you've missed it. Or you may have discovered and go, wow, this is amazing. And we got to have that kind of honesty. I know people who've said, I have the spiritual gift of teaching. And everybody around them goes, no, you don't. Listen to that. Okay? That's not a personal attack. It just means you haven't found it yet. But the only way we'll discover it is by doing something and seeking confirmation from God's Spirit and from those around us. And as we do that, and sometimes that's a journey, we begin to discover how God has called us and gifted us. And again, that's what the Shape class will help you do. Sometimes I think we think the Holy Spirit quit working back in the days of the New Testament. We see the Spirit of God working through Jesus. We see the Spirit of God working through the apostles. We see the Spirit of God doing amazing things in that early first church. But folks, the Holy Spirit didn't die. He's alive. He's powerful. He is still present. There is nothing in the Scripture that says that He has stopped spiritually empowering us, giving us supernatural abilities. There's nothing that says that ceased. He continues to gift us and empower us to do things that are beyond our ability. We want to make a spiritual difference in this world. But you will not make a spiritual difference by just operating on your own power. Human beings alone will not move people in a spiritual direction. We need the power of the Spirit working in us through our words, through our actions, to see people truly affected and influenced by God. And that's what God has called us to do. He's put us in this world. He's called us as His church to rely on His power to make a real difference in the lives that we touch through our service. In just a moment, we're going to come to communion. And communion is a time to reflect. We reflect on the death of Jesus. The communion is the symbol of his sacrifice. His body that was nailed to the cross, His blood that was shed. And we need to remember that He died and sacrificed His life for us. If you're new with us, in just a moment, the communion service will pass the tray and you take the cup and the bread and pass the tray. And as you've reflected, and anybody who's a follower of Christ is invited to partake, you reflect on his sacrifice. But remember this. The very day before Jesus was arrested, he had a conversation with his disciples. He was preparing that he was going to make this ultimate sacrifice. And he said something profound to them. He said, "It is to your advantage that I die and leave and go to be with my Father." Now, if you and I were one of Jesus' disciples, we would have had a hard time comprehending how that would be any kind of advantage that Jesus would leave us. We would want Jesus to stay with us. But he says, no, it's to your advantage that I go because I will send back the Holy Spirit. I will send you a power, the same power that operated in me. And then Jesus even said, and you will do things even greater than I have done. Because now my Spirit will be in many of you. You will touch more people than I could even by myself. So as we come to this time of communion, let's remember the importance of Jesus' sacrifice. Let's also remember that he sent back his Holy Spirit. Invite the work of the Spirit into your life. Be open to discovering how the Spirit wants to use you to spiritually influence others. After that, we're going to take our offering. And if you're visiting with us, please don't feel any obligation to give. We give because of the command of the Lord. We're commanded, and out of obedience, we give. But we don't just give because it's a command. The motive is always love. But I don't know if you noticed that when I read Romans chapter 12, verse 8, one of the spiritual gifts is giving. There are some among us. We're all supposed to give generously and sacrificially. But there are some among us who have the spiritual gift of giving, who God uses in this incredible way. Sometimes they're able to make more money than most of us are able to make. But for sure they're able to give away in a way that truly blesses and touches and transforms others. And if you have that gift, we hardly ever talk about this, but if you have this gift, use it. Because God will work through it to make a difference in the lives of others. Let's pray. Father God, we are incredibly, incredibly grateful that you've not left us alone. You've not asked us to do the supernatural by our natural abilities. But you've called us to the supernatural through your power. God, help us to not be afraid of your Spirit. We invite your Spirit to work in and through us, to use us, to influence others toward you, in you, to experience you, to trust you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.